The sec party remounted and led the hunters on toward the area where the Baron and his paying guests were awaiting their arrival. The three companions, their clothes drying rapidly in the sun, were now erect and alert. They would arrive at the appointed spot, looking lean, mean, and ready to fight. Only their hands were chained, and these would be freed in front of the hunt party. Already they looked keen for action, the hatred blazing in their eyes. The tattooed sec man breathed a mental sigh of relief. No one would know how they had traveled most of the distance, and no one in the forest had seen them, dazed, confused, and slung over the horses. Appearances were everything. And now, they looked just fine. Jack had known that he had very little time when he had been set loose, and he had to use it well. He didn't want to chill Ryan, Doc, and Christy, but unless he could find some way of breaking the hold Ethan had over them, then he might have no choice. But first, Jack would try to bring them back to their senses, and if he was going to do this, then he would have to use all the cunning and hunt skills that he possessed to trap them, while keeping out of sight of the party who were paying to watch the hunt. Ethan and his guests had assumed that Jack would make a straight run for it, to try to put distance between himself and his pursuers. They planned to follow the other three, so they didn't track his progress through the forest. On being set free, Jack had made a straight run until he was sure that he was out of earshot and out of view. Then he had stopped and climbed a tree overhanging the path he had taken. The foliage was less dense there, and it would be an obvious route for him to take. He listened and waited for a short time, but there was no indication that he had been followed in any way. He didn't wait as long as he would have wanted. There wasn't the time. Jack slipped down the tree and doubled back, taking care not to tread exactly the same ground. He came within view of the hunt party, talking idly among themselves while they waited for the hunters to be delivered to them. They were placing bets on how long it would take him to be caught, and discussing with some animation the ways in which they thought he would be chilled. Jack smiled coldly, his hard eyes glittering. He'd remember some of the things they said. They would be there for some time, and they seemed disinterested in what he was doing. Good. That gave him the freedom to put a few plans into operation. Jack left them and moved silently back into the forest. As always, he was aware of the sense of animal life all around him. Most of these were small birds and mammals that offered no threat, but he thought of the bald sec man's warning about the muty raccoons they had encountered before. If he could locate their dens, then he might be able to use that to his advantage. The creatures were likely nocturnal, so they would be at rest in this heat. That would make them particularly bad-tempered when roused. It also made them easier to track right now. Following his senses, Jack headed for an area where the smell of the animals was strong, and there were less traces of other mammals. The raccoon muties would scare away any other life that came near, so the absence of any scent and noise other than the raccoon was a giveaway. Their dens were set into mounds of earth, burrowed deep beneath the shade of a crop of stunted trees. Jack smiled to himself, mentally marking the spot. He could lead his pursuers here, stir up the beasts, and get behind the inevitable battle. That was one trap. He would need more. Jack moved in a semicircle around the area where the hunt party was waiting. He didn't want to go too deep to give anyone too much room in which to lose themselves. They would expect this from him, but he didn't want to lose them. He wanted them all close, where he could track their movements. By waiting and planning, he was turning the hunt on its head. They may think that they were hunting him, but in truth, the reverse was the case. At an angle approximately 3 o'clock to where the hunting party waited unawares, and almost 120 degrees from where the muty raccoons slept in the daylight, Jack found a small hollow. It was a dip in the earth where the tree roots formed a web of potentially fatal consequences. Anyone tripping or getting caught in this web could seriously damage their leg or ankle, rendering them vulnerable to attack. But the root systems were in full view to anyone approaching. Jack had time to change that. As quietly as was possible, he ripped tree branches covered in leaves and armfuls of grasses from the surrounding area, covering the root system as best he could. It wasn't a perfect trap, but he didn't have the time to make it so. It was covered well enough, and the foliage overhead darkened the hollow. Someone chasing him at full speed wouldn't hopefully have the time to think before charging straight into the trap. It would at least slow them. Two traps laid, but three companions to stop. Jack's brain worked feverishly. He needed at least one more trap, and quickly. The problem was that the woodland presented him with very little in the way of ready-made traps, and he didn't have the time to spend on constructing something a little more useful. Ideally, he would have liked to use a denser copse of trees to hide a net trap that he could lead one of the companions into, but that would necessitate the construction of a net, and although he could find the makings of one easily enough, he sure as hell didn't have the time necessary to do it. He needed something already existing in the natural landscape. It was then that his heightened senses told him that the hunting party was being joined by others, which had to be his friends. Jack's mind worked rapidly. The area of densely wooded forest where he would have built the net trap was also home to a sudden steep incline with loose shale and a treacherous path underfoot. He knew that from his wreck. His enemies wouldn't. Ryan or Christie would be able to cope, Doc perhaps less so. So he would try to lead the older man into this section of the forest and use this trap on him. The tree roots would be good for snagging the Titian-haired woman, who always wore the silver-tipped cowboy boots that were usually good on rough terrain, but were spectacularly ill-suited to such a treacherous underfoot environment. For all her prowess as a fighter, Jack always suspected that she wore them because she knew how good she looked in them. And the muty raccoons were something he would keep for Ryan. The one-eyed man was the most dangerous of the three, and as such, it would require the trap that was the nastiest. Jack shook his head, his stringy white hair, matted with sweat already, barely moving around his scarred white face. It felt bizarre to be thinking of taking out his old companions in this way, but he knew that it was a necessity. They would certainly be out for his blood. He moved back toward the spot where the paying hunters were waiting for their sport to arrive. Without the benefit of Jack's highly attuned senses, they were unaware that the second half of their entertainment was approaching until the sec man and the companions were almost upon them, by which time Jack had positioned himself so that he could observe their arrival and take stock of what condition they were in. As far as he was concerned, the most important thing, in fact, that on which his success in staying alive depended, was to separate the companions early on, so that he could take them in a series of one-on-ones, if that was possible. He settled into the hunter's posture of silent alertness, still as a statue, waiting until they came into view. Tracy led his small party into the clearing where the Baron and his paying guests were waiting, along with Greyhorse and Riley.
Ah, Tracy! About time, too. But I think you'll all find it's been worth the wait.
The dreadlocked sec chief cast an eye over the three companions. They were erect in their saddles, their legs free, but their arms chained. They looked alert, wide-eyed, and ready to hunt. But Greyhorse smiled humorlessly as he noted that there were barely dried water stains on their clothes, and that Christie's mane of Titian-red hair was darker at the ends, a little matted where it had been wet. He could easily guess the story behind this. The sec chief couldn't know that Jack was hidden on the edge of the clearing, taking in everything that the sec chief had, noting the same thing. Baron Ethan, on the other hand, was completely oblivious to these nuances and saw only what his customers saw, three bright-eyed hunters ready to chill.
As you can see, gentlemen, they're in fine fettle, and I'm sure that you would all like to make private wagers on which one of them will take out the albino.
Wagers for which you will no doubt act as banker, Ethan, for a small charge, I'm sure.
Of course, Roan, but you do raise an important point. I will be taking no part in this hunt, and I've already secured my jack by supplying the entertainment. If I did act as banker, then it would ensure a certain impartiality, would it not?
You're right, of course. The last thing we want to do is fight among ourselves over little Jack. But it would be like you to turn that to a little extra profit for yourself. Still, I figure that we wouldn't be here without Ethan's ingenuity. So if the dude wants to make a little more on the side, who are we to begrudge him?
Laughingly, the others agreed and began to place their bets. Greyhorse and Riley watched with detachment. The blonde sec man turned to his chief.
I don't care about any of this. I only hope the little fucker gets that one-eyed bastard.
Come on, Riley. Wouldn't you rather that one eye makes it through in one piece so that you can have another go at him? Or maybe you don't think that you could take him down.
Yeah, you know I could if I wasn't taken by surprise. Anyway, are you telling me that no matter what happens, we still get to chill all the fuckers?
You don't think that Ethan's going to turn them all loose after this, do you? As soon as the hunt is over, we have to mop up whatever's left, whether it's Whitey or One Eye, or the woman, or the old dude, or any combination of them. They've all bought the farm. They just don't know it yet.
What about the black woman and the other guy?
I don't think they've got anything to worry about anymore.
I think I'm going to enjoy this even more than I was before.
Neither man knew that they were being observed. Jack was positioned in the foliage so that he could see and hear everything that was going on in the clearing, and this discussion had particularly attracted his attention. There was nothing he could do about Mildred and JB. They were on their own, and he trusted Mildred to be smart enough to have already worked out Ethan's word wasn't to be trusted. If any of them could haul JB's ass out of trouble, then it was Mildred Wyeth. No, Jack's sole concern was the hunting party in the clearing. The fact that they were all to be chilled, whatever the outcome of the hunt, didn't surprise Jack, but it helped to have this confirmed. Jack wondered about the hypnosis. He had seen Ryan hypnotized before, by the beautiful Katya Beausoleil, who had wanted to take Ryan from his companions to use for her own pleasure. A similar thing had happened with the evil witch queen Jenna, wife of Baron Alien, when a rogue nuke had nearly ended their tenure on the Earth. Each time the one-eyed man had fought an internal battle that he eventually won. Jack had no doubt that this could happen again. The question was, would it take longer than Jack could afford? Similarly, he and Christy had fallen under the spell of a Muti leader who had wanted to unite all Mutis in the Deathlands against those who carried no mutated genes. For a while, they hadn't been themselves, until they had broken free of the mind shackles. So he knew that Christy had the strength to break out of a hypnotic hold. Once again, it was a matter of time. Doc's lucidity was tenuous at the best of times, but maybe that could work to his advantage in shaking off the hypnosis. With all he'd been through, he certainly had proven himself a resilient survivor. He could likely get through this, if again, he had the time. Meanwhile, Ethan was ordering Tracy to release the shackles on the three companions. As the chains were stripped from his wrists, Ryan spoke up, much to the amusement of the assembled spectators.
Do we get to hunt yet?
In a short while, Ryan, my friend. Just trust in me.
The one-eyed man replied with an inscrutable stare. Ethan felt a flicker of worry. For the first time this day, the Baron felt uncomfortable. This hunt meant everything to him, the beginning of a new era in sport for the Ville, and a new era of expansion, bringing in more and more Jack, increasing his power base in this region, and maybe even across the whole of the Deathlands. There was so much riding on this. Nothing must go wrong. His fears were allayed by the reactions of Doc and Christy as they were released. Both were itching to get to the hunt. They were agitated and expressed desires to get out there and chill.
I say we release them one at a time, Ethan, and they go for the albinos separately rather than a group. Makes the wager a little more interesting. And we all follow the hunter we bet on. What do you say?
Ethan and the others enthusiastically agreed.